Watch every Bucks road game with me at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton.
Check out the Big Storm menu at bigstormbrewery.com, home of Florida's best craft beer. It all starts Sunday in Clearwater with Ira, first road game of the year, 1 of 9, bigstormbrewery.com. Be there Sunday, Bucks Rams.
If you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, your first stop has to be BillCurryFord.com. It is a tremendous operation 1 mile north of the stadium, the east side of Dale Mabry, where you will be greeted by General Manager Sean Sullivan, who will find a way, regardless of your financial situation, to satisfy your needs about a vehicle. He'll work with you, and you will be amazed at his flexibility. They've got a great inventory, and it'll be your first stop, and it will likely be your last stop in looking for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. I thought he played his ass off, tightening up the coverage a little bit. Tighten it up.
Have you got a mold situation in your home that's just not going away? It needs a professional. Do not wait. Call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. They're going to respond, and they will give you a free assessment in your home of what's happening. They'll deal with your insurance company if you want to make sure you don't get ripped off, and they will navigate you through the process of any disaster. Fire, wind, flooding is a disaster in Florida. Happens all the time. Florida's Elite Restoration, a small company, local, but not too small to take care of you in the way you need to be taken care of. Property managers, plumbers, contractors, they work with all of you as well. And this is a very experienced company, Florida's Elite Restoration. Use them. Call them. Don't hesitate. Free assessment.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, 10 in a row. And what's better after winning 10 in a row than the Ira Kaufman podcast, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. Sage, Buccaneers 48, Falcons 25. It wasn't exactly the offense, whole dropping 50 points there, Ira, but it was exciting. It was interesting. We got plenty to talk about. Sage, I got to say this. The floor is yours. I want you to tell Bucks fans, now that we're a day after this exciting game, what they need to know, what they need to take away, and what the Sage prioritizes.
Buck Nation should be very, very pleased. Not so much by the style of play, but the fact that I think they played down to their opponents. I didn't think the Bucks went into either game thinking there was any chance they were going to lose, even to Dallas and certainly to Atlanta. Lee, yeah, that's sloppy. 20 penalties, it's a big number. I think they got more penalty yards than rushing yards. But, Lee, I'm not overly concerned because the talent is overwhelming. And now you got another playmaker on defense with Mike Edwards. Yeah, I want to interject right now. I don't want to waste any time here at the Kemper. When Isbitz asked me 2 weeks ago, give me your surprise prediction for the 2021 Bucks, what I said was, quote, Mike Edwards would lead the team in interceptions. That's what I said. I'm feeling pretty good about that, even though there's 15 games to go. But, Lee, I'll tell you the biggest number, my biggest takeaway from the first two games. And it's about the dirty dozen. The dozen meaning there's been 12 scores. 11 of them have been touchdowns, and one has been a field goal. Lee, how many times in the past 5 years, especially before Brady came strutting into town, did we say this team kicks too many field goals, they let the other team hang around, they get beat, and they don't score enough in the red zone, they don't cash in? Those days are over. Whether it's Gronk, whether it's Evans, but all of it is Brady. This team scores touchdowns. Well, to use one of Chris Russo's favorite phrases, it all boils down to this. It's about scoring points. And if you got a chance to score 7 as opposed to 3, that's more than, you know, half a step toward your goal of winning games.
Ira, I'm a little bit floored that you had the audacity to bring up your predictions for the 2021 season. You don't want me to start rolling off some of the other predictions, do you now? I know it's a little early, but I don't want to embarrass you.
Steve, when I got something I can salute, I don't care if it's only 2 weeks into the season. I throw it out there. I figure you forgot about all the other stuff, so I figure I'm going to look good.
Forgot about them. I actually had them in front of me for the podcast. I was going to bring this up for Mike Edwards. You predicted he would lead the team in interceptions as your number one surprise. And, you know, but of course it's early for all this stuff, but that was your big shining moment there. And, you know, we've talked about Mike Edwards and Lee's written a lot about him. We talked a lot about him on that, prediction episode, but, you know, exciting for him. And, you know, the second one, really a gift from Carlton Davis coming in with that impressive bat down. You know, that was a beautiful, sequence there, but, the real ball hawk stuff was Edwards on that first interception. Just, you couldn't play it much better. And it wasn't even a poorly thrown ball necessarily. He just really flashed. I don't think we've seen a cornerback with his ball hawk skills in a long time with the Bucs.
You're right, Steve. And, you know, he's given Coach Rapone, Nick Rapone, safeties coach, and a good friend of Joe Bucs fan and the podcast. He's been on the podcast. And it's a nice problem for Rapone to have. How to get more snaps for Mike Edwards. He's clearly the best ball hawk in terms of a safety. You know, if you want to compare him to Carlton Davis, you can. If you want to throw the corners in, but he's got more ball skills than Whitehead any day of the week, Lee. Any day of the week. Now, he's not a thumper like Whitehead, and I'm not saying Whitehead's going to lose his job, Lee, but Rapone's got to find a way, especially on passing downs, Lee, to make sure that Mike Edwards is on the field.
Well, I thought it was interesting last year. I go back to last year, training camp, and I think I was at all but one practice. He was practicing quite well, and he was logging a lot of snaps with the first team defense. And I thought, you know, this guy's going to start at safety. And end of training camp, and they announced that Antoine Winfield was starting instead. So this isn't really a shock to me, because I thought he was, he had turned the corner to become a starter over a year ago. It's great to have depth. And by the way, when the Bucs lost their starting safeties in the NFC Championship game, well, Winfield didn't even go to the game. Jordan Whitehead blew out his shoulder. So the second half was basically, you know, Mike Edwards was out there the whole time. And they stopped the Packers. So he was tested. He was tested by fire, and he passed the test.
Steve, I'd like to interject for one moment, and I think this guy deserves some props. I thought he played his ass off yesterday. I thought it was kind of a courageous effort. And I'm not the biggest fan of the world, but Matt Ryan played his ass off. And, you know, the guy's immobile. The next 5-yard run he makes will be his first. I think he's less mobile than Brady, and that's saying something. The Bucs had him all bollocked up, and he kept making third down passes. Now, a lot of them, you know, were 7-yard passes, but still. Lee, he kept the chains moving. I think single-handedly, he kept Atlanta in that game.
You just made a key point, Ira. 7-yard passes. You know, people are up in arms because the pass rush isn't getting these quarterbacks. So if he's taking like 3-step drops and throwing short passes, that's awful hard to get to the quarterback. Although yep. Devin White did, and it should have been twice. And by the way, you're talking about Matt Ryan. I totally agree with you, Ira. That may have been the best game I've ever seen him play. Up until like the last couple of minutes. And I guess oh my gosh, we're going to lose again. And he kind of let up a little bit. At least the perception sure seemed as if he let up a little bit. But for 3.5 quarters, that guy was balling out. And I give him credit. Yes, he's immobile. But that move he made on Devin White was going to clobber him. And that move he made to get out of Devin White's way, I was like, wow, I didn't know he had that in him. And that was pretty impressive. You know, there was a guy on Twitter. He was, like, screaming at us, like, what the hell's wrong with Devin White? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, give Matt Ryan some credit. He's trying to win, too. And that was a hell of a move he made. It wasn't so much Devin White screwed up. It was Matt Ryan made a play. You're right, Lee. I remember that play. I do remember it.
I remember it, too, and I'm going to lean the other direction just because, you know what? We have the...
I'm shocked!
Well, we've got the expectation. One of Ira's predictions of the season is that Devin White is going to make the step to be an all-pro caliber middle linebacker. And you know what? In that game, he missed two or three opportunities to make big plays, and that was one of them. Now, he didn't play badly, and he was effective with the Bucs defense, but you know what? He's got to make that play. And Matt Ryan is immobile, but he moves very well within the pocket, much like Tom Brady. And, next time for Devin White, I'm sure he's kicking himself watching the film last night and this morning on that. And on that note, Mike Edwards, he was on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Ira. They asked him, how many times have you watched the highlights? And this was this morning. He was on this morning. They asked him, how many times have you watched it? And I didn't know what he was going to say, or I thought he would just sort of dodge it, saying, well, you know, I've seen it, and blah, blah, blah. He said, about 20 so far, and I'm almost done, but not yet.
That's tremendous, Steve. You know, Steve, this begs the question. Now, look, they played two games. The first guy threw 58 passes. I'm not sure about Ryan yesterday. What was it, 48, Steve? I can't remember.
46.
Something like, 46. All right, 46. And Lee, both times they've been short balls, quick drops, get the ball out. This is what the Bucs are going to face, Lee. I mean, there's not a lot of doubt about it. Who the hell is going to try to run on the Bucs? I mean, the Rams got Darrell Henderson. They don't have Dalvin Cook. You know, they don't even have Cam Akers at this point. Are they going to bang against Ndamukong Suh 24 times through the middle? No. Stafford's going to throw 40, 45 passes. So, Lee, I'm going to ask you this. If I'm Bowles, you got to know that every week. You know, you made your bones. You got your reputation. You're the stingiest rush defense in this league. And if you don't have Derrick Henry, you know, or Dalvin Cook, you're not going to bang your head against the wall against the Bucs. Lee, how about tightening up the coverage a little bit? Tighten it up. Three-step drops, quick passes. You know, Lee, they're completing 70%. I don't like that number, Lee. I just don't like that number.
You know, it's not a good number. I understand what you're saying, Ira. And initially, I would fully agree with you. And I was thinking maybe he would go, you know, six defensive backs. You know, just have Levante and Devin White as your backers. Have three guys up front. Go six back. But, you know, they're kind of thin in the backfield now. I don't know if they can go three safeties. I guess they could. And by the way, Ross Cockrell, we found out why he's a backup.
Yes.
And Calvin Ridley schooled him badly on a touchdown. Cockrell stunk up the joint. And I'm sure we'll get to this later, but it's intriguing. I'll just say that. This interest in Richard Sherman. To me, and, you know, there's a reason why a guy, a former All-Pro, is unemployed in September.
Lee, you said it right. There is interest. There is interest from a Buck perspective.
It's intriguing. We'll get to that later. I don't know if the Bucks have the personnel to go six defensive backs unless you put Cockrell out there. And I don't know that he wants to do that unless he has to.
Steve, I'm sure you've seen the film 11 times. You probably watched it more than Mike Edwards, Isbitz. I'm waiting for JPP to make a play. Am I wrong, Isbitz? What's going on with number 9?
No, they did move him inside a little bit. Not too often, but they did move him inside. He is moving much more, at least in this game, a lot more than last year. He and Shaq switching sides, moving around. Maybe that threw him off a little bit. Yeah, but that shouldn't. He's playing a lot. He's 85% of the snaps this week. That's number one along the rushers and the down linemen and the outside linebackers. He's just not there yet with his game. We just haven't seen it. He got called for an offside, which I think might have been a little bit of frustration on his part that he just hasn't been getting there. I remember hearing, I forget who it was a long time ago, some ex-defensive end said, hey, when you start seeing veteran edge guys get called offside, it means they almost feel like they've lost a little step and they got to catch up a little bit. I'm not saying that's the case here, but yeah, it would be nice. You know, no sacks yet. You know, the Bucs really could use the pass rush.
Lee, all we're hearing about is how Vita Vea is dominant. Vita Vea is this, Vita Vea is that. Lee, if that's true, you got three guys that are kind of just picking up a paycheck over there.
They're throwing short passes, three-step drops, and yeah, that's That's damn tough to get. I mean, I don't know if Reggie White would struggle doing that, honestly. No, Vita Vea is doing things. And specifically, that's why Devin White had wide open alleys to run through on his blitzes. Because Atlanta was so freaking worried about Sue and Vita Vea that they had three, sometimes four guys on those two. They were so worried about it. That obviously opened up lanes for Devin White to get through. He did once. Once out of three, I think I noticed three times Devin White blitzed right up the middle. And one time he got to Matt Ryan. I've learned this, Ira. You can watch a game in person, and you can watch a game on TV, and it quite literally is almost two different games.
Yes.
It really is. Now, Villa's, like I said, Villa's causing problems in the middle. He really is. No, he's not getting sacked, but the Bucs, they want that guy to eat up people, eat up blockers, so Lavonte David and Devin White can roam free. He's definitely doing that. He's definitely bull rushing centers, into the pocket. It's not like he's just standing there picking his nose.
You know, and Steve, unfortunately, the Buck defense is kind of turning Derrick Brooks into a prophet. Steve, you've heard Brooks say it many times. The tackling in this league the first month of the season is lousy. It's lousy. And that's because they've changed the practice rules and OTAs and training camp, what you can and cannot do with pads. Steve, the Bucks are kind of sharp on defense, and I'll say this. They better get it cleaned up somewhere in the skies of Oklahoma. Because, Steve, I got Cooper Kupp in my fantasy league. He only scored three touchdowns last year. I took him again because I think he's a lot better than that. And he's off to a hell of a start. If he's not the best receiver in football in terms of yards after catch, he's in the conversation. And I think Arians mentioned that on the Zoom call today. He's got a very strong knack of spinning away, Lee, after these short completions and turning 8-yarder into 22 yards. He does it all the time.
They do have to clean up, Ira. Antoine Winfield was not on his game yesterday. You saw him whiff on Cordarrelle Patterson and just not that sharp. Devin White's tackling, not that sharp. Lavonte David's been sharp. Cockrell has got some issues going on. I thought Whitehead, given that he hadn't played in a long time and missed the preseason, I thought he was sharper than I expected. And as Arian said, they weren't going to let him go out there and play every snap. But I expect to see his number go up. Although now they want to work in Edwards. And there were times where they had three safeties on the field. But yeah, it's got to get better in a hurry. I mean, everybody's sort of carving them up, at least a little bit so far in these two games. And the Falcons didn't exactly have legendary receivers, but Pitts made one hell of a catch behind him. It was a fired throw. He pulled it in, and they made some nice plays and a fun game in a lot of ways, Ira, but the Bucs didn't even come close to playing a full game as far as a 60-minute performance. I got two things to run by, but first I got to tell everybody, Bill Curry Ford, that's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. So we talk about him all the time, but really the important things to know, Ira, family owned, the Bill Curry name, that's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, his family, he's the original founder 61 years ago, but the family runs the business with general manager Sean Sullivan, our good friend, and we're all customers for a long time now of Bill Curry Ford, and Sean wants to help Bucks fans personally. It's just that simple. You call him up, or you walk into the dealership, or you email him, and you can get his email right at BillCurryFord.com. They've still got till October 4th, Ira, 0% APR, 72 months on new 2021 Ford F-150s. They have to go. And so much other great inventory, BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, Ira. So let me throw this to you, Sage. Only because you made fun of me at the last podcast. I could even pull up the audio. You made fun of me, Ira, when I told you that I told you that Josh Wells was the guy you were going to see back in this game in these big heavy sets that they didn't do, not one of them against the Cowboys. But this is how the Bucks have been succeeding through this run. And Wells comes back. He plays more than Giovanni Bernard, the man you said would be the top impact guy. And in comes Wells, and they're very successful when he's on there. And I expect to see more of that, Ira. So I just had to note that he played more than Giovanni Bernard, who for some reason is not getting playing time ahead of Rojo. And maybe you guys want to talk about what Bruce Arians said today about Ronald Jones. Pretty darn telling. Week two, he's going out there publicly and you know, sort of throwing Rojo into the street. Maybe not under the bus, but at least into the street.
Well, as far as Josh Wells is concerned, Lee, now talk about a guy who's jumping on an early prediction, ringing true to an extent. His bits, the truth is, and Lee knows this, you wouldn't recognize Josh Wells if he walked past our table at Big Storm during the during a luction in the offseason.
That's true.
You wouldn't recognize him. So there you go. Lee, as far as Rojo, I believe it was my question to Bruce Arians, and I tried not to give him too much wiggle room and said, what's going on with Ronald Jones's psyche? Besides the fumble, he didn't pick up Deion Jones on a blitz. And, you know, I think Arians is, he's kind of reached his wit's end a little bit, Lee. And when he doesn't mind telling it like it is. And he did. And he made a reference to this guy's not a rookie anymore, Lee. It's year four for Ronald Jones. It happens to be a contract season, Lee, which we've emphasized on this show. And there's Rojo again, down in the dumps. I mean, after a while, what's going on with this guy? Lee, he only got six carries. You know, Arian says he's my starter. He's my starter. He gets six carries. You got to wonder what the future holds for Ronald Jones at this point.
Well, just to give your listeners, Ira, some background, we know for a fact that when Bruce Arians came on board, that apparently Ronald Jones' head was completely screwed up. What I mean by that is he had zero confidence in himself, was wondering if he came out too early, and he may have come out too early. He came out as a junior, wondering if the NFL was a place for him, wondering if he'd ever get a chance. He was just shot. This guy, he had no confidence. So, Arians, I'm not going to say who, but Arians assigned an assistant coach, not unlike what Cutter did with Todd Monken when he told Todd Monken, fix Mike Evans. Very similar circumstance. He had one of the assistant coaches tell the assistant coach, your main job is to get Ronald Jones' head screwed on straight. He's got talent, but he's got to get his head screwed on straight. So they literally have been working with him and his confidence for over 2 years now. And, you know, I thought it was very telling. And at Dallas, he basically got benched, and Arians came out and said, you know, he lost his confidence after that fumble, blah, blah, blah. And at that time, I thought to myself, when is Arians going to get tired of playing the psychiatrist for Ronald Jones? I mean, at some point, you got to be an adult. At some point, the bird has to fly from the nest. And basically, I thought that's what Arians was saying today in his press conference. It sounds like he's run out of patience. That he likes Ronald Jones, thinks he's a good guy, thinks he's talented. And I'm starting to think, if you're still working on a guy's head in year three, and this is the year three with Arians working with the Bucks.
Right.
You're still working on a guy's head into year three, it may be that they've done the best they can do with Ronald Jones. That maybe he's past the point of help. Maybe they've reached the ceiling with him, and they can't squeeze any more confidence out of him.
You know, and Steve, watching this unfold is Jason Light, who drafted this kid, you know, early as a second-round pick. Watched him go through a dreadful, to put it mildly, dreadful rookie season. And then improve steadily and feeling great about Ronald Jones, and especially in year three. And here we are again. So, you know, look, Light's got, you know, bigger issues. He's worried about his defensive backfield and this and that, but he's got two more football team. But, you know, Light's watching this Ronald Jones situation with a great deal of interest.
A couple of things there, and I think I might be able to shed some fresh light, Ira, based on something I heard today, of all things. And but before I do that, two things. First, Ira, I am very insulted. I'm really insulted, Ira. You know, Josh Wells, not only is he someone I would recognize, but you revealed on this podcast he is a member of your family. Josh Wells is a member of your family. How would I not know a member of your family on the Buccaneers? It's very important, Ira. Come on.
He is related to my sister-in-law. He is. He's some kind of a distant cousin to my brother's wife. I approached Josh Wells during training camp, and I guess I broke the 6-foot barrier because bells and alarms went off to Kemper. I thought I was going to be escorted to the Orient Road jail over here for a minute. So I guess I broke COVID protocol by approaching Josh Wells. Thank God he didn't get COVID, or I would have been permanently banned. Lee, but you know what? He's doing a good job, and he is in short yardage situations. So to that extent, Mr. Isbitz, you're off to a heck of a start.
All right, Ira. Well, he's on in a lot more than short yardage, but not important. Hey, Sage, bottom line, as we heard early in the podcast, Sunday is your day one of watching every Buccaneers road game. 9 road games this year. 9 road games at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater. A-plus food. Let's get that out of the way. Top shelf food, great menu, and you can see it at bigstormbrewery.com. That's their tap room, 3,000 square feet of outdoor seating. Fully covered, great sight lines, new TVs, modern audio. The outdoor patio is only about not even a year old. Yeah, a little bit more than a year old. And of course, is indoors as well. Beautiful. And Big Storm Beer, Bromosa, is now available in Publix, as we've heard. And anybody can stock up on Big Storm Beer. But the Sage will be out there. He'll be the human seagull, as Lee aptly calls you. Happy to pick some French fries and maybe a rib or, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe a chip on some fish spread or something like that.
A tater tot's got no chance. No chance, a tater tot.
No chance. You get your beak in there and it's done. I know you're a Bay Beer guy, Ira, or you like the Kolsch on tap. Of course, there's the Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale. So many great beers. Check them out at bigstormbrewery.com. And in 2 weeks, Sunday night, that's going to be an extravaganza at Big Storm Brewing Company with the Sage. Buccaneers, Sunday night football. They'll be open late, and the beer will be flowing. It's going to be a great day. Bucks at the Patriots. One hell of a game that will be on a lot of levels, just especially if the Bucks are 3-0. Ira, Leonard Fournette. Okay, Leonard Fournette was on Buccaneers Radio Network on Monday, and they asked him about the relationship of the running backs. And he didn't say the usual, well, you know, we're all for one for all, we support everybody, all that stuff. He did say that, but he said it took a long time to get there and that the room remains ultra, ultra competitive. And he didn't really talk much about Ronald Jones other than, you know, they both want to start and be the guy and they unfortunately have to switch sometimes. And there was not some rosy picture painted of I'm in Rojo's corner and all that. But the more interesting thing to me was that Leonard Fournette talked about his horrible history in his life of when he was in Hurricane Katrina and what his family went through and just horrible story. Anyway, but he talked about how that gives him some perspective. And he said sometimes, now think of the analogy here. He said sometimes when he sees how hard Keyshawn Vaughn works and that he gets so few opportunities that he feels really bad for Sneak, as they call him. And he thinks about, well, you know what? Those are tough times that I had back in Hurricane Katrina. And, things could be worse for me. I could be Keyshawn Vaughn not getting a shot. And it made you think that, gosh, you know what? There's a lot of support for Keyshawn Vaughn and a lot of appreciation for him. And maybe this is the week that they give him a shot. I don't know where the Bucks really stand with Rojo.
That's great perspective from Leonard Fournette. Lee, having said all that, I think it chafed Fournette last week when Arians unprompted named Jones as his starting running back. I mean, you know, Fournette says all the right things at times, Lee, but especially for a guy who basically was instrumental during the championship run when he got his shot, and now he's not so sure that he's going to get his touches. That's got to be rough. But I'm glad that he's looking at a guy like Vaughn, and he's not getting any chances, Lee, right now. He's not getting any touches. That could change. But if it does, I think Fournette's going to be the first one to get pissed off about it, Lee. Like, not on my watch, and I wouldn't blame him. He's always been number one. Lee, the only thing we can say about Vaughn is the future looks bright for Vaughn. I think he's going to get every opportunity going forward, but the time for him is not right now. It's not right now.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I can't say that the future looks bright for Keyshawn Vaughn because I haven't seen anything. I can't make that determination with zero evidence. He made one very nice play on a touchdown catch against the Chargers last year, and since then, I mean, I don't even know he's on the field.
I think he's going to have an opportunity going forward. Okay. He's going to have an opportunity.
Here's what I wonder. Obviously, Bruce Arians wasn't born yesterday. And we know some of the greatest coaches in sports do things in a calculated manner. Bill Parcells and Bobby Knight are two perfect examples. I wonder if Arians has gone to Fournette and said, hey, man, and we're trying to boost Rojo's confidence. You know, he gets down to the dumps real easy. I'm going to go out and say he's a starter. That doesn't mean you're not playing, but I'm trying to get this guy's head screwed on straight. You good with that, Leonard?
Yeah, he might have done that, Lee.
I know it'd be a perfect example. When Steve Alford played for Knight at Indiana, Knight would tell him, he'd call him in the office, Knight would say, I'm going to go off on you tomorrow about doing X, Y, and Z, and it's all a show because I want to motivate, player X. And Alford like, oh, okay. and Parcells, I know, did stuff like that too. So I just wonder how much Fournette is privy to Arians' motivational tactics with Rojo.
Interesting way to look at it.
Ira, every other Thursday, actually, just to clue you in, every other Thursday, I say that to Lee. I said, look, hey, I'm going to call up Ira. I'm going to rip him a new one, try to get him motivated. And, so we do that sometimes, but you're on good footing.
That's because I can handle that, Isbits. Now, Steve, we're a good way through this podcast, gentlemen, and I can't believe I got to mention the obvious, which is we haven't talked enough about Mr. Brady, gentlemen. I'm going to start this right here, Steve. And I know this sounds crazy. The guy threw 5 touchdowns. They scored 48 points. Sorry, 2 defensive touchdowns. But, Steve, I wasn't sure when the game ended that Brady was that sure. I thought he missed several balls, including a deep one to Evans. Now, it was deep, and you're not going to hit every 50-yard pass. But I thought Evans had 2 steps on that guy, and Brady overthrew him. Steve, even the second touchdown pass to Gronk that was in that right corner, and by the way, Gronk's got this down to a science, Steve, with lining up off Wurfs' right shoulder, and he looks like he's blocking, and then he sneaks out into the right side. I mean, that's the classic Gronkowski. You got to know that's coming. Steve, that pass, I thought he led him a little too far. I thought Gronk had to make a hell of a catch. That wasn't a great pass either, Steve, so It's scary to think that Brady could do better after a day like that.
Nitpicking, Ira. You're nitpicking.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Steve had the great headline of all time when Steve wrote this last night. Tom Brady on pace for 76 touchdown passes.
Absolutely.
I got into it on Twitter, some guy said, Kyler Murray, he's leading the pack. Somebody on CBS Sports Network said that. I can't remember. Oh, Trent Green. Kyler Murray's leading the pack for MVP. I just laughed, and I put something on Twitter, and I'm like, stop it. And the guy's like, oh, he is playing better than Brady. And I didn't go any farther. But if Brady does throw for 76 touchdowns, come on. End of argument.
Steve, to be fair, the touchdown pass to Godwin was a hell of a throw. It was.
Yeah, absolutely. You always needle me about watching the games a lot of times, Ira. That pass from Brady where he overthrew Mike Evans, that was 60 yards in the air without any sort of strain of a windup. Incredible. Evans was too far. But, I mean, that's pretty impressive just on its own right there. And I do have to say, because I don't think we said it clearly enough, Leonard Fournette played a hell of a game the other day. I agree with Lee on the psychology, but I'll take it even a step further. And we're just guessing, of course, on Arians. Maybe Arians announced that Jones was the starter to light a fire under Fournette. I mean, you never know.
Possible, yeah.
But I do feel bad for Lenny in the sense that I think he knows he can be a 3-down back in this league. And the only way he's going to get a big contract is if he can play. And you know, try to rack up 1,200 yards and 50 catches, but that might be tough with the Bucs. But they need Ronald Jones in case of injury, and he still managed to, you know, to get 4.5 yards a carry on those 6 touches. So it's a strange, strange situation. Ira Brady is just magical. I mean, these guys... has a good day, and it wasn't even his best day necessarily when you watched him, like you said, Ira, which is the whole Bucs offense, which goes back to maybe this thing really is, Ira, the greatest offense that we've ever seen, especially if it matures through the season.
You're right, and I thought they could have scored another touchdown, Lee, yesterday, except for, and I'll say it, it was a brain fart, Lee, it was a brain fart. By Ryan Jensen, and you know I like Jensen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had a good year last year, and I think he sets a nice physical tone for the guys up front. But, Lee, that was a dumbass play, and I think they score another touchdown on that drive.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When you play to the edge of the whistle, sometimes that whistle comes back to bite you.
Yeah, and the sad thing about that, Ira, is I understand the rule. I understand the call. But that goes on 3 times a game all across the league. They don't call it that tight. Donovan Smith did the same thing later in the game in the red zone. They didn't call it. And it was before the whistle. It really was before the whistle, but you're not allowed to clean the pile like that. So, you know, he's got to know better. And, of course, Jensen has that reputation, so he has to respect that, hey, they're probably going to call it tighter on him as well.
Guys, you know what I think? It's right in front of our eyes. Sometimes we're too close to it, but... this Brady in the red zone, Lee, I wouldn't be surprised if they finish with, like, maybe, you know, 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns all season, because why are you running the ball when Brady is so masterful, Lee, in the red zone? Of course, with Gronkowski being a big part, but he's got Evans too, not to mention AB and Godwin. Lee, they're throwing the ball in the red zone. They're not handing it off.
You know, like Steve started saying, I'm not going to go the best offense we've ever seen, but the damn close. And so, why would you? Why would you not want to use those weapons? Now, I got to give you a little bit of credit. I got to go back a few days. Last week, you did a Zoom call. I think it was Friday with Arians. I haven't used it yet. I was waiting to see if you use it on a column. And if you don't, I'm going to use it. I loved how you phrased the question to Arians, and I loved Arians' answer even better. You basically asked him, like, you've got all these weapons in the passing game. Do you ever think about saying, hell with the run, we're just going to go with our strength? And he said, no, because the quarterback will get too many hits. And then you think, oh, wait a minute, Brady's 44. That's actually pretty damn smart on Arians' point.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that, Lee. And in your inimical hands, that'll turn into about 4 stories for you, DeKemper. but you're right. I don't even know what prompted me to say that. But I had just written that column about how he's got a first ballot Hall of Famer tight end, and then he's got Brown and Evans got these Hall of Fame resumes, and Godwin's just getting started. And I just, you know, I kept thinking about it. Like, and you've mentioned it before. You got to get the ball into those guys' hands. You got to get the ball. And we were talking about that with Giovanni Bernard. You can almost, you know, extrapolate that to the running game. Well, why the hell are you running the ball? I mean, so he gave a good answer, Lee. He did give a good answer.
It adds up. It makes all the sense in the world.
It does. And also, you got to factor in that, and Mike Evans would probably be the first to say it, you can't ask the guy to run, you know, 65 routes a game. It's just you're going to burn out those guys, too, and you need them.
Right.
To be fresh as well. But I don't know, Ira, you know, you've said it before, and it's a cliche of football, and we saw it last year with Fournette. You got to be able to run the ball in the playoffs, and that you can't just flick a switch like that. I mean, what Fournette did in Green Bay was spectacular and critical. You know, they got to be able to run the ball when they need to, but it's going to be pass first, and it should be for a long time, because that's how they're going to rack up these wins that they desperately need to get that number one seed, which is going to give them that magical week off that we need. Ira, I'm pulling for you tonight. I know you have a big night, Monday night, in your fantasy league. You're playing Sean Sullivan from Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. And Sean has got to catch you. You got a good chance of winning this thing, Ira. So that would knock you into a good space, 1-1 with a ton of points. So good luck, Ira. I do have to say that if Ryan Suckup didn't doink his extra point, I would have won my fantasy league. So that sucked.
Wow.
Yeah. I lost a point on Suckup, and if he made it, it would have been a 2-point swing that would have given it to me. But that's fantasy football, Ira.
I don't know anybody that's had more burns in terms of fantasy losses than you, Isbeth. You're unbelievable.
Well, it's my own fault. I didn't play the right guys. But, yeah, I do have a knack for losing by 0.3 points. It does happen. Sage, this is important because it needs your wisdom. I had never heard of this nuance before, and it really smacks you in the face when you think about gambling and the whole Richard Sherman story that we haven't talked about and that we're going to talk about now. But Bruce Arians, after the game last night, he was asked about Carlton Davis, who came up with a hamstring injury on the Friday injury report. Obviously, number one cornerback, hamstring injury. You're thinking, could this linger? How bad is it? What's going on? All that stuff. He was asked after the game, and Arians said he cut off the reporter. It was Jenna Lane. He cut her off and said, no, he was not injured. He was not injured. He just had tightness in his hamstring. It's not an injury. He's not injured. He's fine. And that's it. He was never hurt, which I was like, well, the guy appeared on the injury report, you know, I mean,
so injury report for a reason.
Yeah. And usually we hear about guys who are not put on the injury report because the team doesn't want anyone to know. Now we're being told he wasn't injured. Have you ever seen this before? And of course, this ties to the Richard Sherman angle, because when we're writing stories about Richard Sherman on Sunday, we're thinking, oh, well, gosh, the Bucs' interest could be because Carlton Davis has a bad hamstring.
Gamesmanship in terms of the injury report has been going on probably since they were wearing leather helmets. And the league has tried to streamline this and make it, more effective and more trustworthy, but they failed. Lee, they failed. And, of course, the master is Belichick. He put 30 guys on that report, and none of them have a chance of missing the game. And the guy was never fined about it. And now here comes Arians. Lee, Carlton Davis was listed on the report. Lee, I don't remember. Was it questionable? I think yes. He might have been questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Not doubtful, but not probable either. And now Arians goes out of his way to say the guy was never hurt. Lee, it's a problem. It's a problem for the NFL, and I think it's exacerbated by being in bed with the gambling industry. That's not going away. It's only going to get more and more involved, as you pointed out. You got arenas with the name on it, right, Lee? The name on it,
Superdome.
Lee, I don't know if you have any suggestions for what this league can do to clean this process up, but I think it's another example of you got to take it with a grain of salt sometimes about what's on these injury reports.
Oh, sure. And the best example is last year. Tom Brady was on one leg, and he never once was on the injury report. That's pretty shady. A guy that has to have knee surgery immediately after the season, not once was on the injury report. No, I don't think this is going to be a problem for a whole lot longer. All it takes is for Vegas to take a bath on one game because Belichick or Sean Payton monkeying with the injury report. All of a sudden, Roger Goodell gets a call from, the shot caller, Caesars. What the hell is going on? How many hundreds of millions are we giving your league? And we can't get a dime store Omar Bradley to give us a decent injury report? Do you want us to pull this money? And crap rolls downhill after that.
Yeah. Steve, as far as Richard Sherman, I don't want to get too much ahead of ourselves. Steve, you tell me if I'm overdoing this, but clearly Arians could have said, we're going another direction. That's not going to happen. I thought he went out of his way to indicate that it really might happen. There is interest from the Bucs with Richard Sherman.
I agree with you, Ira, except I think the interest, I would say there's zero interest right now, but the interest is them knowing, we don't really know exactly what Murphy Bunting is going to be. And if somebody else gets hurt, and Jamel Dean has had injuries through his career, and I don't think Carlton Davis has played a full season yet, they may be thinking, let's make sure we play nice publicly and say we're interested to keep those lines of communication open. But Sherman, I mean, look, if you bring the guy in for a workout and he's in good shape, you know he has the smarts and the intelligence and the experience to fit in. So, I mean, it really just comes down to what his body is. If they're going to suspend him for a couple of games for legal issues, well, the Bucks, if they sign him in October or November, they don't have to worry about that, really, because they really just need him for the playoffs. So, I don't know. There's a lot of ways to look at it.
Yeah, I've said this earlier. I'll say it again. To me, it's a big issue. If an ex-All-Pro is unemployed in September, that should tell you something. But to me, it comes down to this. If you're Jason Light and Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles, do you think an over-the-hill Richard Sherman, with his smarts, he's a very smart man, very smart player, do you think him over the hill can put himself in position to make plays, you know, compensating for his slide in physical abilities? Do you think that would be better than Ross Cockrell at full strength? That's what you got to think.
That's a good way to put it. And Steve, I'll throw this in there, Steve. And I say it, you know, half joking and half serious. Suppose Light says, I'm position A on get Sherman. And Arian says, well, I'm on position B. They're at a stalemate. Gentlemen, we all know who's going to break the stalemate.
Todd Bowles. Tom Brady.
Come in, have a brewski, and what do you say about Richard Sherman? I mean, I don't think that's crazy.
Here, I'll say this about Richard Sherman real quick, just for your listeners, Ira. This afternoon, Albert Breer wrote, there are three teams talking to Sherman. Bucks are one, and what's very interesting to me, the other two teams are his ex-teams, Seattle and San Francisco.
Guys, if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but in that Super Bowl against the Chiefs, a critical play down the stretch was the Chiefs needed a first down, and I think it was Sammy Watkins got past Sherman. It was a real big play. It kind of sparked the Chiefs' comeback in that Super Bowl. And Sherman was victimized by it. And 49er fans, I don't think they've forgotten about it. But, Lee, anybody can be beaten in the NFL at the corner position the way the rules are. You know that.
You know what, Ira? I'll say that I just don't want to see the Bucks panic, make some sort of panic move for Richard Sherman when they're on a 10-game winning streak coming off a Super Bowl victory. And the trade deadline is still out there. It's more than a month away. And it looks like, you know, if you get lucky here and everything keeps going, you're going to have weapons that you're not even using that you could trade for a good cornerback. There may not be Richard Sherman's capability, but I don't know. I just don't want to see them make a panic move. And they did win a Super Bowl with Ross Cockrell playing 20% of the snaps last year. Obviously, they need him more now, but Sherman's not a nickel, best I can remember. So if you're going to sign Sherman, you would think he wants to play, and he doesn't play nickel, and Dean is no nickel. So I don't know. The whole thing's messy. I don't know. I just hope they don't panic, but I understand what they're doing. You got to keep those lines of communication open.
Does he want to win more than he wants to play?
Yeah. Now, Lee, we should mention that Jamel Dean played a lot better than week one, so it was nice to see him bounce back.
And we also didn't mention Carlton Davis. Two personal fouls. Two. And I think they were worse than Jensen, so I feel I got to at least throw that out there with the face mask and and him blowing up the guy on the sideline when he could have just shoved him out.
To be fair, that was a very good win for the Cowboys yesterday. Hell of a win for Dallas. So maybe they are a little better than I thought. I thought they're an 8-9 team. They might be better than that. Lee, they might win the division.
All right.
That ain't saying much, is it? Division's black.
They're not the Rams, and certainly neither is Atlanta. So my point is, you know, if the Bucks are undisciplined against the Rams, it could very well cost them the game.
Well, Sage, two things, and then I got a piece of news for you, and then we'll say goodbye. We got to thank Bill Curry Ford, presenter of the podcast, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Just ask for Sean Sullivan, however you choose to do it. He's going to help you personally, and make sure you get that Ira Kaufman discount.
Bill Curry Ford.
As we heard earlier, Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call. Ira, they are the best. Florida's Elite Restoration. Ravens.com 24/7. They're going to come out and give you a free assessment. Someone you can trust in the Bay Area. Josh Martin and his crew are going to take care of you. If you have that flood or mold or electrical fire, whatever it is, wind damage, Florida's Elite Restoration. And the Sage will be at Big Storm Brewery, drinking beer, watching football. The guy lives a dream life. He's Ira Kaufman, and he wants to hang out with you. Look for Ira. I think he's going to have some giveaways. We'll talk about that on the next podcast, Sage.
Try a Bramosa. You're going to love it.
Buccaneers, two of them on the COVID list announced today. Kevin Minter, linebacker, key special teams contributor, and a wide receiver practice squad guy, Travis Johnson. Now, okay, the Bucs aren't going to miss those guys necessarily, but I'm just nervous. Linebacker room, Kevin Minter's got COVID. Well, next thing you know, hopefully nobody tests in that linebacker room or something runs through the wide receivers room. It just creates such a mess for this season. You know, I don't. Your thoughts, Ira?
I think, Lee, we've been a little spoiled by how disciplined the Bucs have been about these protocols. I give Arians a great deal of credit. Jason Light gets some credit. The coaches, the players, Lee. It hasn't been a big issue, thank God, at one Buck place. And believe me, other teams are thinking about this all the time, and they're affected by it. So, Lee, we're a little spoiled in that regard, but it's another reminder, Lee, that this thing is omnipresent, and you can never let your guard down, and let's hope it is confined to these two players, Lee, because it can really wreck a team for a couple of weeks. It really could, and we got plenty of examples from 2020. Denver played a game without a quarterback, Lee. They had no quarterback.
Now, a lot of people would say they haven't had a quarterback in years. So.
Bridgewater's off to a good start, Lee. He is. But, Lee, you know what I mean? The Bucs have done a sensational job in guarding against this scourge, but you always got to keep your guard up.
Yeah, you know what? This is just an unbeatable foe.
Well, Sage, look, we got another podcast coming up. You want to send Bucks fans out with a thought that is not the sickness, as Lee would call it, and I call it, and something a little bit uplifting. Sage, what do you think?
All right, I'll leave on this note, and I'm going to point to a column that is yet to be written, Steve. Yet to be written. I'm feeling very good about this game. I'm feeling very good about it from a Buck perspective. They are underdogs. Brady doesn't cotton to that very well. Arians doesn't like it, defending Super Bowl champ. They will be one focused football team when they land in L.A., and I think it's going to carry over to the games. If I'm a Buck fan, I like their chances. We'll talk more about it on our next podcast.
And Sage, I'll just throw on a little nugget since you mentioned it. A little tidbit. Tom Brady revealed that on his Sirius show today that he's never played a football game in Los Angeles, college or pro. First time.
Wow.
He's very excited about it. He's got a lot of family coming in. His parents will be at the game, and they don't go to every game. And wow. Nieces and nephews and a whole thing. And we know he's got this Hollywood production company now. I'm going to say, Ira, maybe I'm crazy, but I'm going to say this game might mean a little bit extra to Brady.
You know who's also going to be there, Steve? Aaron Donald.